picking up good vibrations. She's giving me the excitations. I'm picking up good vibrations. She's giving me the excitations.
Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening, everybody. Welcome back to another edition of Positive Living Vibrations with myself, Sarah Troy, and my guest today, Rita Soman. Rita is an immigrant from India. She lives in Portland, Oregon, in the States, and she is a psych therapist. She does it with a difference. She likes to get really down to the subconscious level, why we have these beliefs in us, why we can't get rid of them. Sometimes we could speak to them and we're saying all the right words, but we're just not shifting that thought process. She's also a co-author of a couple of books. One is Thank God I Married an Alcoholic, which she has a chapter in there. And the other one is, I'm just quickly looking it up here. The other one is The Thought That Changed My Life. And she has written in both of these books. And, you know, Thank God I Married an Alcoholic is not something normally people would actually say. But, you know, I was married to one myself, and I know that we learn a lot about ourselves through that. And we also learn that we are actually enabling the alcoholic because we're not standing up for ourselves. So we're going to share that journey, and we're going to share the journey of The Thought That Changed My Mind. And we're going to be here to enlighten you today on exactly how you can help yourself and how Rita can help you. She's the author, co-author of The Thought That Changed My Mind, and she is a psychotherapist with an expert in helping people in healing with the root of addictions, mental health, related issues, and most other life's problems. And, you know, addiction, folks, can not just always be drugs and alcohol. Addictions to anything in life that you need to have at the cost of everything. It's something that we dictate our lives because we're not willing to deal with it. So she can help you with that. She can get to the root of the cause of the problems at the subconscious level of the mind. She's been doing this for over 26 years. She believes that blending the psych-K process with psychotherapy has proven to be very beneficial in addressing all types of changes. It works synergistically with other most healing modalities. In just a few sessions, you'll begin to restore the happiness and the well-being and start moving forward to realize your dreams. She offers workshops, and she does things by Skype, and she's going to tell you more about that later. But I know she is a person that very much is connected to the divine, and seeks the divine direction and confidence in order to help her make the moves. So let's find out how this marriage of psychotherapy and divineness come together, and let's find out what Psych-K means. So welcome to the show, Rita Soman. And please, would
you... Thank you so much.
Thank you for being here. And can you tell us exactly what Psych, capital K, means?
K is kinesiology.
Ah.
It has to do with the muscle testing. So, but Psych K is actually alignment of mind, body, and soul.
Right, because so many people just work on the mind and they forget that we are, you know, an encompassed creature and we have to work on everything. So muscle tension very often is a reflection of a troubled mind. And so it gives you an indication, too, that there is an issue wrong, right?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So you can go into more of that, please.
So since subconscious mind controls the motor movements, and so if we are like walking lie detector machines, so if something is true, and we just say that I am a good person, for example, and we test the arm, or there are many ways to do muscle testing. So it stays there. But if I say I am a good person, I don't believe at the subconscious level of the mind, then my arm will drop. I won't be able to keep it up and somebody presses on my arm. So there's ways to do self-muscle testing. You know, people can Google it or on YouTube how they can communicate with their subconscious mind for truth and true and false statements, yes, no.
And that's actually really handy to have, because we are very, very good at fooling ourselves, aren't we? We're very good at kind of pulling the wool over our own eyes.
We can also use pendulum. Many people use pendulum.
Mm-hmm.
And so we can use pendulum to find out what are the subconscious truths, you know?
Right. So, but getting back to the muscles, as you say, the muscles don't lie. So it is, one of those things is that you think, no, I'm, that doesn't bother me. No, I've done this. No, I've deleted that person out of my life. And then the muscle says something else because you're still leaving something residual behind, a belief that is getting in your way. So this helps you get to understanding exactly, if that person is facing their own truth or not.
Yes.
So I can see the definitely the synergy between the two of them, most certainly. But how did you came about to doing this, of putting the two together?
Well, about I've been looking for a method more effective than the psychotherapy. So I tried many methods, including EFT and Ho'oponopono, which also blends with psyche now beautifully, motion code, and I actually experienced many methods through other professionals like hypnotherapy, reconnection healing, and soul retrieval therapy, shamanic healing. It's one of those things you feel better, but somehow the change, you're not able to hold on to a change. And I attracted this work on demand, actually. I as a divine, either send me a method that really works, or I don't want to do this work anymore because I felt totally like stuck there. I didn't know how to further help my client or help myself. So through Dr. Bruce Lipton's book, The Biologic Belief, I learned some new facts about mind and body and connection, and also how the cells communicate and the epigenetics, and new science, how genes don't control, have a control switch, they're controlled by the environment and our beliefs. And so that was quite intriguing. And toward the end of the book, he also talked about a process, Psyche, that he had personally used it, and he had benefited immensely. And that got my attention. I said, it helped Bruce Lipton, so I'm ready to try. And so when I tried this method in 2006, I was totally amazed at the results, quick. But it was hard for me to believe that, how can it happen so quickly, the change. And I was waiting for it to fade out, the results, like from other modalities, but somehow it didn't fade out. And it led me to more work. It's something like when I started using Psyche with myself and other people, I became a bit more of a believer every time I used it. And I just couldn't go to any other modality after that. I haven't taken any workshops after that because this is a complete tool in itself, I realized why other modalities were not working for me because and my clients, because for one is that we were trying to change things outside to feel good or even inside, but we were not going to the root cause, the subconscious mind and the beliefs that were associated with problems on hand. And we thought of something else, and we got therapy for something the client is saying or I'm thinking that the client should work on. But in this one, I really don't have to think anything. We get the answer from their subconscious mind.
Yes, and
So
that's
that's
where
how
we,
it came in my life.
yeah, I mean, we have to, that's where we have to go, isn't it? Because the conscious mind is always going to misinterpret. It's relying on data that isn't completely whole, and the subconscious mind is where all the real truths lie, and you can't lie about those truths. But the conscious mind seems to always manage to manipulate that for some reason. I'm not quite sure how, but it does. When you get down into that subconscious mind, it becomes a jumbled mess, doesn't it? And sometimes it's hard to say to somebody, what is bothering you, because they don't know. It's an amalgamation of their upbringing, things that have happened to them in their lives, a lack of self-esteem or self-value, a lack of purpose and direction, and it's all of these things rolled into one that jumbles things people up. And how are they meant to know what the problem is? Because it's just too much for them to fathom through. So this is where you come in, and you can dig through that mess, and you can understand what really the issue is. And there's never just one issue, is it?
Yeah, when people bring a problem, they are just telling what's going on in their life, But that's actually not a problem. That's a symptom of a deeper problem, which is in the subconscious mind,
Yes.
So everybody has same issues for a different reason. So we cannot treat people same way because we don't know why this person got this issue and why the other person got. So it could be totally different scenarios.
And of course, not everything can
you find out from
the muscle testing and all this other stuff. Right.
So you which can is find out from the subconscious mind.
Excellent. And you know, back in the old times, and I'm sure there's some people that still practice this. You know, the tell me about your mother. And that the poor mother gets blamed for everything wrong in a person's life. And I think that, you know, they're moving away from that, realizing there's bigger and deeper issues than just blaming it all on poor mama.
Yeah, that's true. Mama or daddy.
Yeah, exactly. But in your case, it's, you know, your parents were an arranged marriage. And, you know, they traditionally, you know, had to make it work. And then they emigrated, and so when it came to you marrying, you know, they wanted you to have a choice, and they didn't like your choice of your first husband, did they?
No, they did not.
So, you know, was it the defiance of a young woman, or, you know, I love him, and I can change him, or he just didn't show his true colors until after you were married?
Until after I was married.
Yes, that's quite common. Definitely.
Yeah.
And there is the old adage, you've made your bed, now lie in it, which, of course, today we don't encourage people to do. We encourage people to get outside of that abuse very, very quickly. And it took you 6 years to pluck up that courage and find that self-value to move on. Did you use any of these procedures to do so?
I didn't know any of these procedures then. We're talking about 30 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly. I did not know any of these things. I was a school counselor in India for 10 years in helping people, you know, choose the right career and help them with stress management. So I had no clue about it. I used to think that people who drink are bad people and they don't want to change. I didn't know that they couldn't change and there's a reason for everybody to drink. So I didn't know that.
Mm-hmm.
So I kept pressurizing him to quit drinking. It kept teaching him that it's going to kill you. And then he said, why do you care? If I have to die, I will die. So I was hoping that one day I'll be able to change him so I don't have to tell my parents, but it got worse and worse and worse, you know.
Yeah.
So.
And of course, if somebody doesn't care, how can you help them? Because really, when it comes down to it, we have to have that free will. We have to take that step up. I want my life, help me. But if I don't care, they're not going to do anything you know that you can do to help them. They're just not going to accept it.
That's true. That is one problem. That is, even if person used to come to me and say, oh, I have a problem, I want to get better, you know. I did not know the right tools to help them. I didn't even know that the problem, root cause of the problem is in the subconscious mind. They're holding some past traumas that need to be cleared. And so there's more than this to will. Will is definitely, you have to be ready to change. And if people now find out that, you know, it's not difficult to change, they can actually heal themselves completely, and where they won't crave alcohol because their brain will make its natural chemistry, people are willing to give it a try now. They're more open to receiving help.
Yes. Yeah, you can't help those that refuse to accept the help. And of course, anybody who's in any form of addiction, it's, as you said, much deeper level. It's not that addiction. If you take that one away, they generally go to another one. So it's actually getting at what's causing the addiction in the first place. Why are they so desperately to escape to the bottle? And, you know, 30 years ago, even, it was still something that you didn't really talk about. It wasn't as open as it is today.
No. And the society did not look at it that way. They thought, you know, it's okay. Man is allowed to have few drinks every day.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's okay.
Yes. And a man is allowed to verbally abuse his wife and demean her and everything else. No, that isn't the message we're wanting to send out there, folks. because I think we're slowly moving away, but in some cultures not. Then a man owns a woman. And, you know, that the moment that ring is on the finger, that is, she's now property. And I know in some cultures that is still that way, but for most part of the world, men are particularly understanding that women are your partners in life, and that doesn't mean ownership or that she comes with a manual or he comes with a manual. It's something you have to work out together through mutual respect.
That is true.
And not bringing each of your old beliefs to the table. So, you know, do you get young couples coming to you, you know, wanting to clear out old issues before they marry? Would you recommend that? Before you actually marry, make sure you're not bringing anything to the table that is, you know, a past girlfriend or, you know, an issue that you could bring to the marriage that could cause problems.
Actually, I would highly recommend people to resolve their issues first. Then they can pick better partners. They can attract better partners, you know.
Yes, most
if
certainly.
If they have their issues, they're going to attract somebody who also has his or her issues. And then you're expecting support from the other person, and they're expecting support from you, and both are hurting. So, but this is a journey, you know. I believe it was supposed to happen that way for me, for me to learn all my lessons. So I wouldn't change anything about my past. I would say that my relationship actually taught me about myself that I didn't believe I deserved to be loved. I deserved to be respected. I have an importance, you know, in my relationship. I was important. So I had I learned a lot about myself. If I was not in that relationship, then I would have never known.
And yeah, and you wouldn't be doing what you're doing today, right? You know, helping somebody. Exactly.
Yeah.
So all of these things are life lessons. And we have to learn the lesson and move on and not get stuck in it, because so many people get stuck in the drama of the pain and unable to move forward. And do you find that people will seek it? Yes, I'm over it. You know, it doesn't bother me anymore, but you know that underlying belief is still there, that they, you know, haven't quite cleared it.
You know, if they had resolved, you know, it should reflect in their life. They shouldn't be telling anybody.
Right. Exactly.
The quality of life they're living, it should actually, you know, it should actually tell them that, you know, if they're really resolved or not. If they're resolved, they should have a wonderful life, wonderful relationship with themselves and everybody else, you know.
Yes. So it's something that's in the past and you don't feel anything for it anymore. If you've still got feelings for it, you've still got unresolved issue there.
Yeah. Sometimes, you know, we become left-brain dominated where we just totally, like, not use our emotional self and to express ourselves, and we just get busy in working and other things. So we are not even aware of those feelings, because those feelings are so painful that, you know, you don't rather not think about it. People think that if I don't think about it, then I'm fine.
Yeah.
But you can have it under the rug and expect it to go away, you know.
What would you say to, you know, is it a left or a right brain thing where people have articulated the process, who have gone through the verbal or even the, you know, the physical as far as action is concerned, to an issue or a belief, but you know, they know that it's still so very much deep in their subconscious that they don't even know how to release that. Is it a different type of release from the mind release?
I didn't understand the question.
Well, we have a mind that, you know, has its memory and it has its beliefs, and you can release those mind beliefs. But if the heart's been damaged or the soul's been shattered, that heart and soul has its own memory. And is there a different process on releasing the heart and soul from the pain of the past? Or is it the same process as the mind?
Well, we just resolve everything from the source, the mind, where all the problems come from.
So our mind is always what's getting in the way.
Yeah, there's other modalities that say we lodge emotions in every part of the body, and Louise Hay has affirmations for every health issue, that if you just recite that affirmation, your health issues will go away. But, you know, affirmations can only work if you have some conscious beliefs that need to be changed. But if you have, for example, if somebody tells you a cancer and you've heard about it and you believe that I will die now, somebody else tells you that, no, this is curable, then all of a sudden, you know, you can recite some affirmations can help you. But if, you know, you don't believe, you know, that you can heal, it's more embedded in your subconscious mind. You think that I have a family history of this disease, and I've seen so many people die. So which means just by a doctor telling you something, you don't change your belief. So it has some causes, you know, that are in the subconscious mind. As I told you, that every problem has different causes for different people. Even cancer, you know, for different people, different reasons, emotional reasons. If you put your mind at dis-ease, it's going to create a disease, you know.
I agree.
So what is the disease going on in the mind? What is the discomfort going on in the mind? I usually talk to people for the first 10 minutes when they see me. In 10 minutes, I get a little overview about their childhood. And basically, I ask them about how was the relationship with their parents, how were they treated, and what kind of relationship they saw between the parents. What kind of messages they got, you know, is it support, love, attention? And once I get that information, and then I see what's going on is a direct reflection of their low self-worth and other issues.
And of course, you know, if things do stem from our family life, and you know, as you mentioned earlier, culture, you can understand why it's so slow for some people in cultures to change, because their culture is so set that making changes and going independently with your own thought and your own desire, if it goes against the culture, you know, it's so completely frowned upon, isn't it? So it's not just people living in their own authenticity, it's living up against the tide of a culture that is being far slower to change.
Mm-hmm. That is true. So that's why, you know, with Psyche, we use permission protocol. So if a certain belief that we're trying to change, if it is not safe for them to change, you know, at that time, then we don't get permission through muscle testing. Yes, it's strong for response. So which means this is not safe to change the belief at this time. Maybe the others need to be changed first. So I like that about Psyche, is that, you know, we don't have to really know a lot about person. We just find out most of the things from the subconscious mind. So which means we don't have to spend countless hours in trying to analyze the client and see where the person is coming from and why this and why that, you know. We're not doing research on them. And so, and then by talking, we cannot know everything that is going on in the subconscious mind. So best thing is to go to the source and find out what is the real problem.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, most certainly. Get to the root of the problem. Because the conscious mind is going to regurgitate a story that they think you want to hear, as opposed to truly the subconscious truth, because they're not always working in sync with each other. And, you know, I can imagine that for certain cultures, it's much, much harder to, you know, face that change. It's not just you facing the changes that you need to make within you. It is going up a whole culture that can really frown upon any of those changes. Have you, I don't know if you've been back to India, are you seeing more changes today in people being more honorable to their own beliefs rather than just following beliefs that have been?
No, people are changing. They're changing, but they're changing after the effect, not after having gone through the painful journey, and now they're trying to find a relief there.
Mm-hmm.
But because it's embedded in the subconscious mind, all the emotions are in the emotional DNA, they carry all these things, you know. So it's very important to raise the awareness first and see, you know, what is there, what's happening, and how it can be changed. But people are more open to changing now, changing some of the cultural beliefs that don't serve them anymore. So as a psychic facilitator, I don't decide for them what they should change. They decide for them what they want to change.
Yeah.
My job is only to work with their subconscious mind and find out, you know, what is going on and what can be changed with permission from superconscious mind, what cannot be changed.
Mm-hmm.
So which is really good, which is like they're not lying on me for the answers. The answers are within them.
Yeah.
You know?
That's so much more empowering. You know, that's...
Yes.
It's not just somebody telling you, this is the problem, this is what you've got to do. It's showing you that this is what your body is telling you. This is what your mind is telling you. And do you have the power within you to change this path? And, you know, by doing that, you're not just deleting old beliefs and you're giving them the opportunity to make new beliefs that serve them. And that empowerment that's within them gives them a great deal of courage to be able to make better choices for themselves. So it's not just getting
that's
rid
true.
Of the old, it's empowering them to make better choices for the new.
Yes, rewriting new programs.
Yeah, exactly.
They delete it, you know, there's nothing there. Like hypnotherapy, delete everything, erase all the memories. I tried a lot of hypnotherapies for personal sessions and also for to my workshops, you know, realizing that there's a second part to the process of healing. First part is okay, clear it and then rewrite. Rewriting part. So they really like the second part of rewriting new programs with psychic process. So we are attracting many people who truly want to heal people but not getting the results, and they are now looking for other modalities. So psyche is a modality that I believe, you know, once people are people get it and get there somehow and allow themselves to participate in the process of, you know, healing with this process, then in for a big time, beautiful surprises, ongoing surprises, not just one.
Mm-hmm.
And like it takes like I'm a dom actor, you know.
Yeah, exactly.
On the life.
I mean, I know that you know, you can fool your mind. And you can say, yes, I've done that work. I don't need to do it anymore. But if you're still having problems in your body, you know, muscles, ill health, diseases, fatigue, it is still your body telling you that there's something you haven't dealt with. And that, you know, there's still something
exactly.
You've got to get in there
it's
and clear.
It's a messenger.
Yeah, totally.
It's a messenger. Yeah. The message can either be delivered through our physical problems that we encounter in life, or emotional in nature, or psychological depression, anxiety, bipolar, or addictions, you know, throughout behaviors. So all these are the symptoms of a deeper problem. This is how body and mind are trying to communicate the message, you know.
Yeah.
And so instead of getting just the symptoms fixed, you only, you know, take care of the outer part of the problem. But inner problem still is in the person.
Yes, and I think that, you know, today we see so many illnesses out there, you know, that are fairly new illnesses. And we're seeing so many people become sick, you know, their immune system, or like cancers become like a cold. You know, it's so rapid. And, you know, I do believe that, you know, cancer is a lot physical to do with our environment and our food intake, but I believe it's a lot to do with emotional, and that we can actually manifest the cancer within us. You know, if we have that gene with us, we can manifest it because of our anxiety, our fear, our worry, and holding to beliefs that just are getting in our way.
That is true. And if we can just conquer all those in us, you know, then, you know, we make our immune system strong. So, and we have different set of beliefs, you know, not like because I have a family history of this problem, I'm going to get it. You see, I control my own health, I'm in charge of my own life. My body keeps my immune system strong, and then they have better choices also. They want to live longer, and they are excited about their life, you know.
By living
so
purpose.
They have better choices.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Purpose. And they have actually a different lifestyle. They work out, they eat healthy food, and drink healthy beverages, you know. So
And have healthier people around them too. Because, of course, a great deal of our issues is the wrong people around us, isn't it? Toxic people.
Yeah, they automatically, when they are healthy, they automatically attract healthy people.
Yeah.
Because they don't have any any reason to attract those people because they have learned their lessons. Unless they have some more lessons to learn, so they might attract one or two people here and there, but when they attract somebody like that, then they always look within and say, why attract this person in my life? What is the message he's trying to deliver to me, you know?
So, well, I've really got to look at my subconscious at the present moment because I'm attracting bad landlords.
So, you're attracting what?
Bad landlords.
Bad landlords. Mm. Yes, that's true.
So,
no, it's not the landlords are bad. It's like, you know, we attracting these situations.
Yeah.
Is an indication. Deep down, you know, we don't believe that we can attract or create financial freedom and have our own house and paid off with the help of psychic process from being in debt, you know. I had cards from every store and being in debt to, you know, a few years later, you know, living in a house that is paid off. You know?
Right, exactly. And it's all obtainable. But it's getting the mind around it. You know, this is why you were saying is that, you know, the mind can say one thing and really can talk very, very smoothly. But what I find sometimes is the heart and soul, there seems to be a disconnect. You know, the heart and soul is saying one thing, which manifests through the body, and the mind is only hearing something else. And, you know, I think it just depends on how your mind is wired, that, you know, it likes to try and fool itself, doesn't it? You mean we say the mind plays tricks on
ourselves? Mind is actually, mind is not doing anything other than, you know, subconscious mind controls the whole system. And also, it records, it has recorded messages and it operates, you know, you use those are the operating system. So this is how it is, and there's no mind chatter going on that we think there's some chatter going on. It's just a tape recorder. It has recorded some messages that can be changed. Once people learn this work and get the awareness that it can be changed, then it's just a matter of presenting it yourself. You know, how many people listen to my interviews and then say, well, sounds good, and never act on it?
Yes.
But the thing is that, you know, if you don't act on it, you can listen, be impressed. And I tell people that I'm not a motivational speaker here trying to impress you. I am here because I am supposed to relay the message to the world that the power is within them and they can create a life that they want by addressing some of the beliefs that are in their subconscious mind, some old traumas, clearing those. They can get control back of their life.
Mm-hmm.
And people who decide to do that, and they're like, they are the ones actually who keep sending me my clients through referral. And I like that way because I like if somebody really benefited. And I don't see any reason why they won't benefit anyway. Of course, you know, if we clear the root cause and then we create an action plan to match the new belief system, and then, of course, they're going to see the results. But if they change the beliefs, but they still do the same old action, so
yeah,
that's where they don't see the results.
Right, yeah. You know, in my case, I married my father. I married somebody of different ethnicity, a different religion, different culture, in a different country, thinking I was marrying somebody completely different from my father. And what did he do? I married my father. So subconsciously, I've still been drawn to that because obviously I'd never cleared that issue. And, you know, it's weird how your subconscious kind of does that. You know, you think you're in charge. And no, you're not doing that. And the next thing you know, you've done it. And you find out the hard way.
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
I mean, I love
I got married first time to run away from my father, you know.
Yeah.
He had an anger problem, very controlling person, very loving though, but, you know,
yeah,
he did not know any better. I wouldn't change my dad, you know.
Right.
But I kept attracting, you know, instead of resolving things with my father, I kept, you know, escaping and going to other people in the hope that they'll treat me better, but I had a consciousness where I didn't believe I deserved to be treated better.
Right. Yeah, and especially if people come from that, you know, we have to look at that, you know, your father's issue, my father's issue was their issue. And they kind of superimposed it on us because we were children and we absorbed that. And a child looks at everything as a reflection of themselves. So if dad is angry, it must be at you. What did you do wrong? Right, and we've done nothing wrong. It was their issue; they just imposed it upon us. And so, you know, you have to go through that clearing to understand that. Don't take it personally. It, you know, it was there. You were their dumping ground. And no, you didn't deserve to be. And the onus is on him for doing it. But it wasn't, you know, it wasn't your choice to let it go. I love what you wrote in your paragraph here. You know, lovers blind and lovers cannot see the pretty follies they themselves commit, the William Shakespeare quote. And then you go on to write that you were actually just blind to the person. You fell in love with love and the idea of love and what love could be. But you weren't actually really comprehending the person that you were in love with.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And we allow that emotion of love because we seek love, don't we? We just want somebody to love us for who we are. And then in that, we get so blinded by it that we don't see the people in front of us for who they are.
Yes. And, you know, we forget that the love is not outside. If we are love, you know, if I am not love, if I don't love myself,
yes,
I cannot give love or receive love.
Exactly. You don't marry someone to define you or refine you or love you to help you love yourself. You have to have your own definition of who you are, be the love for yourself, radiate that out, and then they will know and how to love you.
That's true. And moreover, you know, when you're filled with love, you're really not looking for love outside. You're so much, you know, in love with yourself, and you do things that you like to do. You're not in control of life or people, and that is like true freedom.
Yes.
And so it leads to that. And then you're not looking. Then everybody loves you. And then you say, well, good for them. But you're not defined by whether they love you or not, you know. It's
yes.
just amazing that how you stop looking outside for people's approval, acceptance, love. That's a trap, you know. You just go outside of you and look as if it is like a gas. You're going to go get it.
Yeah, exactly.
Love esteem is like
exactly.
emotional gas, you know.
Yeah,
you need to get it within you, you know.
Well, it's taken me a long time to realize that, because I was always one of these people that looked for my validation in other people's verification. And, you know, I was a people pleaser at the sacrifice of myself. And it was a long, hard journey for me to learn to value, love, and respect myself. And, you know, I'm at a place that if somebody comes into my life that we can share some time and love together, wonderful. But it's not, I don't need somebody in my life for that. You know, it's nice to have that, but it's not something I have to have to define who I am, because I've learnt to live in my own loving peace, and it took a long time to get there.
Yeah, peace, it's very important. If you're not at peace with yourself, with your present, past, and future, you know, then you're always going to look outside, you know, to get something or be somewhere to be at peace. But wherever you go, you take your, you know, state
self
of mind
with
you, and you're not at peace, you know.
You're with yourself for the rest of your life. You may as well like you.
Yes. But if I don't feel good, you know, if somebody says, let's go to movies, let's go someplace, and I said, no, let me figure out what's going on with me, because then I can go to movies or whatever. I'd want to go to movies and try to feel good, because I know when I get there, I will still not feel good. Maybe I'll feel good momentarily, but I have to really make a lot of effort to feel good in that moment. I don't want to do that. So I clear myself, because I know the work, and I teach people this work in a 3-day workshop, and they can learn, and they can use this work within a few minutes. You know, it can change your state of mind, you know. It's not something that you use if you have a serious problem. If you're having a little procrastination problem, if you have a project you don't feel motivated to do, you have to clear your house and you're not motivated to do that, you can then do some work in a few minutes and get yourself all excited about it, you know, come from a different place to do this work. So I like that part about this work. It empowers you, it gives you tools where you're not looking for a therapist, you know, for your problems to dump on or get this advice on what I should do.
You're a tool. You're a tool and a guide on how to use the tool for them to work it out for themselves.
The manual that we didn't get. You know,
yeah.
This is the manual.
Exactly. I love what you've written in, you know, the thought that changed my life forever. You know, faith, persistence, and surrender are my trusted guideposts. And, you know, you've gone through major change, and after exploring the different healing methods and making many failed attempts to solve your problems, three principles became the light that guided you into darkness, with faith, surrender, and persistence. You were able to find love, happiness, and inner peace that you are sure will accompany for the rest of your life. And that's a huge thing, isn't it? Faith. Faith that there is something there bigger than us that is wanting us to succeed in our own lives. Surrender, because when we try and control everything, we actually lose control. We actually gain more control by surrendering. And that persistence, you know, never give up. If it was a wrong path, all it means is a redirect. Try another path. And, you know, three very, very, very important things to remember.
Mm-hmm. That's true. You know, when I was about 14 years old, I used to tell everybody, I want to live an extraordinary life. I don't want to live a life like everybody else lives. And I used to tell my mom and dad, I said, I can't get married to someone and spend the rest of my life with one person. And they thought there was something terribly wrong with me. I'm thinking that way. They scared them, my statement. And the universe heard me, so I had three relationships.
Right, exactly.
But the thing is that, I knew that my soul wants to do something extraordinary, but I did not know what that was. And because I wasn't passionate about my life, so I couldn't really see my purpose. Uh-huh. By doing the work and clearing my past, I felt so passionate about my life that now I used to be so desperate about sharing this work with people. Like wherever I went, I would talk to people about psyche and all this stuff. But what has changed even after writing my story in these books, because of the ongoing changes I still feel every day, that I am more determined than I'm desperate to share this work with people. And once I share with, I attract people like yourself and other people, interview me and write my articles. And so I just feel like my job is to just share my journey and the tools with people. And it's up to them. When it is their time to heal, they will find me or find whosoever they need to find. So it's not something that I need to look. It's not. I don't even think about it as my business. I look at it as a service.
Yeah.
More like a service.
Yeah. And the thing is you've sent an invitation out. And, you know, through doing these shows, you're letting people know who you are. This is me. This is my authenticity. This is my tool. I can guide you to your own freedom using this tool. If people don't resonate with you, they're not going to be able to communicate with you or you them. You know, it's when you're in sync with somebody vibrationally. I know that this is right. You know, that's when you go, I'm going to go to that person. They're speaking to me. I can hear what they're saying. I can feel they've got the right vibe for me. You know, I sense this is right for me. And they can only do that from you giving them the invitation, but it has to be their free will. And so you've got to, you know, there's a lot of people out there always ramming a program down someone's throat. I say paint the picture. If people see it,
true.
They'll come, right? It's got to fit you.
If I have a cancellation in my day, a couple of cancellations, I take my family, let's go for a drive, let's go for lunch. I don't try to fill my schedule with anyone.
Right.
But I feel like, I got a free time now. Let's go play. I'm always looking for, time where I can play more. You know, I'm not, looking for more clients because I know that, when it's their time, they will come. And other thing is that when people want to know more about me, I just tell them that, you know, Google me with my name, Rita Soman, and you can find a lot about me since. But I've never been so impressed with the tool process in my whole life other than Psyche, because this process from day one to this day, I've not lost my passion for this one. It keeps growing, because it makes complete sense that if you don't change the mindset, you know, you can have as many skills you want to create a successful, prosperous life, you know, but you will not be able to enjoy.
Exactly.
Because your mind...
It doesn't matter what you do on the outside. Whether you buy a new car, a new outfit, a new house, get a new job, make more money, if you are not enriched in the inside, if you're not investing on the inside, you will always be a poor person.
I like that idea. I like it and love it. Thank you. You have to feel enriched in you.
Yeah.
Getting richness from outside, it still can make you feel enriched.
It's very, very important. We have a lot of poor people in our society, and I'm not talking about their wallet. You know, I'm talking about their purpose in life. They're lost. They don't know where they belong. They don't know their own meaning of their lives. They're living life by expectation. They're not taking ownership of their own choices, of their own free will. And, you know, you're not going to accomplish anything in life until you're willing to work on yourself. And you've really got to look at, you know, what is a belief that I've grown with that was from the past, from a different time era, from my parents, from society, and what are beliefs that serve me here today? When you actually do find them, it's so liberating, isn't it? It is so lifting and freeing, and you do find that peace, that passion and that peace that come together.
Mm-hmm. For all my, all those years, you know, before, when I mean, I played Psyche in 2006, you know, time before that, I worked on making a living.
Yes.
And now I'm living a life. That's
perfect. Perfect. Yes. And that's when you're doing something you absolutely love and that you believe in and that you're passionate about. It isn't about the red color going out there and that passion, you know, turning people on but not sustaining them. It's about a wonderful glow going out there, a ray of sunshine that warms people and it invites them to either stay or come back. And that's really, you know, what we're doing here is sharing the warmth. So that, you know, your heart can be warmed and you can see the benefit of it and, it, you know, help you find that sunshine within you. Because if we've got a lot of people walking around feeling like sunshine, we won't have such a gloomy world.
That is very true. In fact, you know, one person for healing impacts a million people in the world. And also our healing also heals the planet. So my biggest motivation to continue to do the work with myself and others is that feeling that I'm participating in the process of, you know, healing the planet via my own healing. And that is more exciting to my soul than anything else in the world. And the planet that, you know, gave us, you know, everything, you know, beautiful architecture, beautiful nature, everything. You know, we're so blessed to be on Earth, you know. And so we throw junk everywhere, you know, and we throw our junk, our emotions, feelings outside there, talking about it. So we can take charge of our lives and enjoy a free and abundant life. That is our birthright. So we're asking for something that is our birthright, you know, that I want this, I want that. But the thing is that you don't get anything for free, you know. So if you really want true happiness, then you have to create true happiness within you, so you can attract true happiness from outside.
Yeah, exactly.
So you're already happy to attract, not like attract to be happy.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, it's all about those vibrations. You know, my music to the show is Good Vibrations, and it is about that. Because when we elevate ourselves, we elevate that frequency. You know, we're elevating that goodwill where we will live only in this world of harmony. We do not want to live by our choice to live in discord. The more people that are willing to do that, you know, when people say, I'm only one person, what can I do? You know, be abundant in your own life, with heart, your soul, your mind. Be abundant in your own life, and you are already becoming a part of the equation. The other thing is gratitude. Whether you say it in gratitude or say it in a prayer, you know, send it out there. Vibrationally, it reaches other people in the world. When you meet a troubled soul, don't dismiss them. If you can't help them physically, send them some goodwill. Because if enough people send them some guilt, they'll finally get to that point where they're willing to help themselves. There's a lot we can do, isn't there?
Yeah, that one, and if you are an example of it, you know, people will rub off on them, you know. We've done experiments where, you know, if you put somebody who's evolved in front of the person who is not evolved, in a few minutes you begin to see their brain chemistry changes, and they can feel you're not just to them. You're sending them love without saying, I love you. And so they feel that, you know. So our thoughts influence on the people in a positive and negative way, both ways, you know.
Yeah.
So if we carry positive thoughts, you know, we carry this message in the world through our thoughts and feelings and our beliefs that you too can live a free life it came with a look, its purpose and everything else in it. So I tell people that I'm employed by the divine, I'm employed by universe, my paycheck comes from there. Whatever divine thinks that I can handle, he sends me, whatever it is, you know, so I don't ask for it. I completely trust and let the divine guide me, support me, and lead me to people and places where I can do more evolution and growth.
So, you know, when people are getting your service, they're not just getting you, they're getting the divine through you. So it's a partnership that you have with the universe. And so, you know, when people open up to that faith and surrender in trust and persist with it, it's not just today, well, it didn't work, I'm not going to do it anymore, but persist with that faith and practice it and, you know, keep surrendering to the universe, let the universe in. All those answers that you seek will be there, and they come through people like you that the universe is using in their own way as a tool to reach humanity.
That is true. I truly believe that. I'm just a channel.
Yeah.
I'm not a healer. I'm just a channel, and because I don't have, I'm a product of the product when people come to me with any problem. Right now I have someone who is paraplegic, and he had an accident 14 years ago. He found me on the internet and doing some sessions with me. I'm doing sessions in surrogation so that, because he cannot move his arms. And just in two sessions, he's feeling a lot better. Then he told me other things that, you know, that happened during his childhood. That was really useful information for me. And so I was excited that, you know, this person is very ready to heal. And I will not be surprised if he one day stands on his own feet and starts walking and proves everybody wrong. Because that's what the subconscious mind, whatever the mind can conceive and believe, can achieve. If your mind can conceive this idea that you're not thinking that I can never walk or I'll be like this, you know, then you start to work on the other program that I can walk, I can heal, I can be normal.
Yeah.
By addressing some of the issues that actually caused him to have that accident. He's been actually thinking that way for a long, long time before the accident happened. So now he's realizing that, you know, what his plan was for a long, long time. But subconscious mind finally said, okay, you know, whatever you want, we'll make it happen. And it happened.
Yeah. You can't play the blame or the guilt game. You know, it's, we do things, we make choices, and they lead us in a wrong path, or they have consequences. Now what we have to deal with those consequences, adjust our lives, and, you know, take this journey that we have there. And, you know, it's so inspiring when you come across somebody that has had something happen to them. But today, they're living their diva. They accepted what was given to them. They found, you know, a different avenue to live their lives in a different way. And they're living their diva, which is their dreams, inspirations, visions, and aspirations. And they're truly then being a beacon of light for other people. To say, if I did it, so can you.
Yes. That is true. And that's what people need to know, that, you know, somebody who is a living example of their work, you know, unless you become the product, you know.
Yeah.
I don't think that if I'm not there, I don't have any qualification to help people. I cannot help people on the basis of my degrees and experience, but I can help them better because I've addressed that. I've traveled the journey within. I've conquered my challenges. And that actually is the most important qualification.
Yes.
For the person who's trying to help that person.
I 100% agree. Your Psych K is a tool that you use, but your understanding and comprehension of how it needs to be used comes from your experience and from your partnership with the divine.
Yeah, it definitely makes it easier for me. And also, if you are not the example, people don't see that in you. They say, how are you going to help me?
Mm-hmm.
I don't see any changes in you. In fact, even my family didn't see changes in me for a long, long time. Because when I got the tool, I began to use with other people more diligently than with my own self. So I wasn't noticing much changes. You know, I noticed some changes, but I didn't pursue with myself. You know, I was still people-pleasing, caretaking, and feeling good by helping other people. And I was not in the picture at all. Until, you know, 4 years ago, it was brought to my attention that I need to do big-time work on myself. And
yeah.
I began to seriously do the work with myself, and then got to this point of feeling totally free to be me and do what I want to do when I want to do how I want to do. So then my family started to notice changes, and now they want me to also work with them and then say, can you facilitate the work with me? They see so many changes. They say, oh my God, can't believe that that's you. But definitely, that's me that was supposed to be me for a long, long time, but my authentic self was crushed under all these programs that were not even mine. You know?
Yeah, exactly.
So getting those programs, you connect back with your authentic self.
Exactly. I know I've still got some work to do. We're always a work in process. You know, we've got to make sure that those things
don't come back up.
Yeah,
it's ongoing work.
Yeah, exactly.
It's ongoing work.
You know, there's never a complete conclusion. You know, there's always going to be something that comes out of your past that hits you over the head, and that means you just got to deal with it. But, you know, when you know that you're living calmly, you know, you feel at peace with what you're doing. As you said, whether you have a client or the client cancels, it doesn't matter. You're not panicking. You know that the people that come to you are those that are meant to come to you. And they're there for you
exactly.
to help.
And that's true.
That's the beauty of it. You know, you could be calm about what you're doing instead of being, as you said, you used to promote this like crazy. You know, now it is what it is. It will be what it will be for other people, and those that need me will find me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I tell people, sit for half an hour with no phone in your hand, nothing, and see how do you feel.
Yeah,
and then you'll know. If you have to always do something or be somewhere and whatever it is, you know, or eat a certain food or drink or whatever, then it's not unconditional happiness. Unconditional
yeah.
happiness is a stillness in the mind.
And the ability to be still, you know, just, you know,
yeah.
I'm not a sit on the legs, cross my legs, you know, meditator. For me, my meditation is actually just sitting and around nature, you know, letting it speak to me.
Yeah, it creates a whole brain state, you know.
Yeah.
So it just, the process is whole brain integration process. And this process, you know, both left and right hemisphere begin to work simultaneously. And so it creates a whole brain state. You look at everything from a place of like, you know, I can do it, yeah. We'll find a solution. We're just optimistic, you know. We're not looking at it like from a left brain perspective or right brain perspective. Left brain more logic, reasoning.
Yeah.
Right brain is more feelings and all, imagination, visuals. And so it's so nice that you can look at, you don't have to have somebody else give you advice. You can... to think about, okay, let's see, you use both hemispheres at the same time to figure out, okay, let's see what can be done about it, what I can do.
But you never know who's going to be that one to give you the advice. You could be passing someone at a store or sitting with somebody at a coffee house and somebody says something and it's suddenly, there's my answer. You know, be open to the universe, it will always deliver. Would you let people know how
yeah.
they can get hold of you and what workshops and programs and how to get your books, etc.?
People actually can buy my book from Amazon, and I'm going to soon post it on my website also, ritasoman.com, where I'll give the link to Amazon to buy from. And the books are more not for me to ever make my money from. I wrote my story, you know, in those books with an intention to bring this information to people's awareness that I was and where I'm life is by using my power within, and psyche happened to be the process that was effective in helping me to connect with the power within. And so they can get that. And also workshops I teach worldwide. And that can they can find me on my website again, ritasoman.com, and on the workshop section. And best way for them to Google me, where they can have more information about how the process works, because we did cover that part today. But they can learn more about it. So it's not something that I'm saying and you're saying, but how, you know,
yep.
the how part, you know. Or people can always call me. I offer them a free half an hour complimentary session where they can, you know, talk to me and I can explain them how the process works. And we can chat with the subconscious mind and see, you know, if the psyche process will help them. So I don't charge them anything for it, because I believe that, you know, if they have an experience, you know, then they're more likely to continue with that one. Then somebody saying that it really works. So I have attracted many people who want to have half an hour compliment. I offer the same thing to your listeners, that they can always, you know, reach me at Rita@ritasoman.com through email, Or you can call me at 503-307-3287. I'm in Portland, Oregon. And I love to share this work with them and give them a complimentary experiential session of psyche.
Wonderful. Well, you're doing fabulous work here. And, you know, I'm so pleased that you found your path because you become the healer because you've allowed the healing to happen. And you've become, you know, the teacher and the guider, and which is what we're looking for nowadays. You've got the tools. You help people and guide them into their own healing. And, you know, that's where
you're permitted. Healing. I won't say I'm a healer.
Exactly.
I don't want to accept the title healer. Because I believe the healer is only one. We can only be the conduit.
Right, exactly. And you're doing a fabulous job. So thank you very, very much. And
thank you for having me.
And it's a pleasure to have you. So that's Rita, RitaSoman.com. And you can catch everything that she has on there. And, you know, this is something you can gift to other people as well. If you feel that there's somebody that's in need, and you've heard the show, don't forget, with the show, all you have to do is share it. It's instant listening, instant download, and you can even get a few people around and listen and discuss it and, you know, see if Rita is the person for you. So thank you, everybody. Thank you very much, Rita, for being on the air with me today.
Thank you.
And to everybody else, don't forget to be kind to yourself. Bye for now.